a slightly different perspective. What I want to do this morning is look at contexts for baptism. Want to find out what baptism is associated with as you read about baptism. And when you've learned a little bit about each context, you'll learn more about the subject. So that's basically where we're headed this morning. And I'm going to get you to turn in your Bibles first to the book of Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist was the man, if you like, who popularized baptism. When we think of baptism, we often think of John the Baptist. And so we're going to consider what the context for John's baptism was. Luke chapter 3 and verse 3, and it reads like this. And John came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for or unto the remission of sins. Verse 7. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. John the Baptist came. What was the key context for baptism as far as John was concerned, as far as his ministry was concerned? And you will say, John the Baptist preached repentance. So I'm going to suggest to you there are several contexts. We're only going to consider seven today. But the first context of baptism is repentance. Baptism says, I am a sinner. I died. I go down into the water. A baptism to signify death. I come out of the water. A baptism to signify new life. It all is a picture of repentance. What does repentance mean? Repentance means, first of all, to agree with God. I'm a sinner. Repentance means, second, to sigh. Oh. And that implies that we are sorry for the sin that we committed. And the third theme with repentance is to acknowledge that you're wrong and to turn around. It's one thing to say, I agree with God, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep on going. No, no. Repentance is to agree with God, I'm a sinner, to be sorry for my sin, and to say, by God's grace, I'm going to turn from my sin. The message of John was, you must repent of your sins. He goes on, he speaks to the people, and he tells the people what they have done. To the soldiers, he had to say, don't do violence to people and start being content with your wages. To the people themselves, the multitude, he said to them, he that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. He that has meat, let him do likewise. Give to the people in need. That's what he's saying. Repentance is to change from your selfish ways and start following God and his righteous ways. Now we're going to go very fast this morning because we've got to pick up seven themes. The first theme associated with baptism is repentance. You got it. All right, now the second theme, we're going to read about it in the book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. The story is a man by the name of the Ethiopian eunuch. he had gone from Ethiopia, where he lived, to Jerusalem to learn about the truth of God. He didn't find it there because he was looking in the wrong place. And so as he's heading back to Ethiopia, riding in his chariot, as he gets down by the seaside near Gaza, he hears the truth of God from Philip. Philip tells him how the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Ethiopian eunuch said, "I understand now." He said, "I want to be baptized." Let's pick up the story. Verse 36. As they traveled along the road, I better read it from the right translation here. I'm reading now from the King James Version. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" That's a good question. She'd asked many questions this morning. What would hinder someone from being baptized? And the answer is given in verse 37, which I will read from the King James Version. And it says this: Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, some of you have a New International Version, and when you read that, you will find that verse 37 is not in your main text. Verse 37 is repeated at the bottom of the page. And the note says, some late manuscripts say baptized, and Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So the question is, why do you have differences in the two translations? The question was, what hinders me to be baptized? The answer from the New King James, from the footnote of the NIV is, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. He said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." Why is there a difference? And it's very important in the context of baptism and also for your understanding of biblical translations. The Catholic Church had a couple of very ancient manuscripts that the world knew nothing about until a couple of hundred years ago, called Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. And these manuscripts don't have that particular verse in it. The question would be, why? And the answer is because the Catholic Church will teach, and many other churches will teach, that you can be baptized when you're a baby. They call it infant baptism, and it is a common practice in many churches today. The problem is, it is not taught in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the very opposite of it is taught in this particular verse. What does it say? If you want to be baptized, you must believe. Let me read it again. It says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." How old do you have to be before you can believe? Can a baby believe? Not very well. We got several babies with us this morning. Ellis is probably the baby who's in the room right now. Two, can Ellis believe that? No. Okay, could Ellis be baptized too? No. Why? Because she doesn't believe. She can't believe. Is infant baptism possible? No. Why? Because an infant cannot believe. Why did these ancient manuscripts say that that verse was not there? Because the church that they represented taught that you could be baptized if you don't believe. So the first context of baptism is repentance. The second context of baptism is belief. You've got to believe in order to be baptized. All right, so we're learning a little bit about baptism. What is it that you have to believe? Well, the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is God's answer for sin and for salvation. And if you don't believe that, you can't be baptized. That's the second context. What would the third context be? Back in the book of Acts, now to chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And verse 41. And chapter 2, I guess, in verse 41. I apologize. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says this, after Peter had preached a wonderful sermon to these people, after the Holy Spirit had descended from heaven, verse 41 says, then they that gladly received Peter's word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. What is the third context for baptism? Gladly received his word. Okay, here's the Bible. You get excited about it? How excited are you about it? Well, if you hear the word of God and you gladly receive the word of God, that's a good sign. Okay? And so one of you came to me this morning and said, would you please sign my new Bible? Okay? All right? This is a good book. That's right. Okay? Cindy says, this is a good book. I like this book. I gladly receive the word of God. Now, some people say, well, I'm not terribly impressed. That's an old book, and they're not impressed. But baptism says, I gladly receive the word of God. Baptism says, I repent. Baptism says, I believe. Baptism says, I gladly receive the word of God. What a wonderful thing it is. That's the third context. What's the fourth context of baptism? Eric actually read about it this morning. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we'll read these verses together again. Excuse me. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, as Eric mentioned to us this morning, the fourth context of baptism is discipleship. Discipleship. What does discipleship mean? From the Greek perspective, discipleship simply means being a student. Okay? You can't graduate from the course unless you study the course material. And someone who's going to be baptized, Jesus says, you go, you make disciples of these people, and you baptize them, and you teach them all the things that I taught you. Discipleship implies being a student. Okay? What do? You say, I'm going to be baptized. Baptism says, I'm a sinner, and I die. Baptism says, because Jesus rose from the dead, I too can rise from the dead for newness of life. What are you going to do when you come out of the waters of baptism? You're going to be a student. Okay? You're going to have to learn. It's one thing to say I died, and there's another thing to say I've got new life. But if you've got new life, you've got to know what new life's all about, don't you? If you didn't know what new life was all about and you rose from the dead, what would your new life be all about? It'd be all about the old life. Okay? I guess that's a bit of a tragedy because, you know, a lot of people go to hospital and they get cured and they come back and they do the same thing that they used to do. I remember hearing the story about the fellow who went to the doctor and he said, "Doctor, I want you, please, to give me something that will make me feel good when I do all those things that make me feel bad. Okay? I want you to cure me of the things that I do that are wrong so that I can keep on doing them." That's not baptism. Baptism says, all the things that I did, those bad things, they're behind. I don't want them anymore. I want to learn what is right and I want to do it. From the Greek, discipleship means to be a student. From English, what's the word discipleship mean? It means discipline, doesn't it? Yes. What do you make of a student who goes to school who has no discipline? Well, and he ends up not being a very good student because he doesn't do his homework. He pretends that he's going through the motions. He doesn't always go to school. Okay? What do you do with a man who takes a job and he is not disciplined in the work that he does? What happens to him? After a while, he gets a little pink slip. And the little pink slip says, "So sorry, buddy, this is your last paycheck." Okay? Now, the Christian who's baptized, he says, "I want to be a disciple. I'm going to be disciplined. I am going to say no to that which is behind. I want to learn how much? I want to learn all things that Jesus commanded his disciples." Four things associated with baptism. What are they? Repentance, belief, gladly receiving his word, and discipleship. What would number five be? The book of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. And the first couple of verses are very interesting. It says, "When therefore the Lord," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," although Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, "Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." That's very interesting. Who had more baptized disciples? John the Baptist or the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus Christ. We often forget that. When the Lord Jesus Christ first came, his first ministry was to baptize. He had his 12 disciples, and they baptized many people. As a matter of fact, they baptized more people than John baptized. And the important thing here is that Herod, the Pharisees, heard that John baptized more disciples. I've got it all wrong, excuse me. If I slow down, I will speak more accurately. Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus baptized more disciples than John. What were the Pharisees doing? Counting. They wanted to know. Why did the Pharisees want to know how many disciples Jesus was making? Same reason that Justin Trudeau wants to know how many people are planning to vote for Andrew Scheer. How can you evaluate your competition if you don't know? And so the political leaders are always trying to determine what their opposition are doing. And they're polling not only their position, they're polling their opponent's position so that they will be in a strong position. What were the Pharisees doing? Pharisees were saying, we got a big problem. It's John the Baptist. All those people are going down to Jordan to be baptized in John. Oh, they said. We got a bigger problem now. It isn't John the Baptist. It's this fellow Jesus. He's a bigger problem even than John the Baptist. Jesus says, glad you got the point. And so having discerned that the Pharisees knew that Jesus had made more disciples than John, Jesus says, all right, I can go back to Galilee and carry on. And these fellows are now beginning to worry about me very, very much. Why were they worrying? Because if they didn't stop Jesus, they were going to lose their words were, we will lose our place and our, can't remember, our nation. We'll lose our position, we'll lose our nation. They put him to death because of their political pressure on them. They wanted to know who the opposition was. What can we do? They said the only thing we can do with this Jesus is to kill him. The same way they killed John the Baptist. Have you ever heard the phrase? I don't know how it translates into Chinese. But the phrase in English is, kill the competition. That's what the Pharisees did. All of which says this. Baptism is associated with identification. Whose side are you on? People are counting. Eric said that in many countries in the world today, you can say anything until you're baptized, but once you're baptized, your baptism is a clear identification as to whose side you're on. Is that a good thing? Yeah, it's a good thing. You on Jesus' side? Okay, stand up and be counted. That's a very, very good thing. Can you get all five? Repentance, belief, gladness at the word of God. Can't remember myself. What, discipleship and identification. All right. Now the next one is Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and the Lord Jesus is speaking about John the Baptist. He's telling the people what kind of a person John the Baptist was, and he extols John the Baptist in wonderful words. And then he says in verse 28, he says, for I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Who is the greatest of the prophets? John the Baptist. If Elijah were to walk into this room now, would you listen to him? What if Jeremiah were to come in? Would you say, Jeremiah, it's nice to see you. Would you please tell us something? John the Baptist was greater than Elijah, greater than Jeremiah. John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets. Now listen what Jesus says about them. Verse 29. All the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against them, being not baptized of John. What does all that say? And I'm going to explain it to you, but I'm going to say that the sixth context for baptism is justification. Justification. What does justification mean? Justification means to be, to declare to be righteous. I am justified by God Because he said, Harold, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I have justified you. I've forgiven your sins. I have declared you to be righteous. When I stand before the judge on judgment day, and the Lord says, should I let you into heaven, Harold? What am I going to say? I'm going to say yes. And then the Lord will say, but are you not a sinner, Harold? And I say, no. I was justified. I was declared to be righteous in spite of my sin because Jesus died for me and paid the price to enable me to have forgiveness. I am justified. I have been declared to be righteous. You know what justification is? It's to declare someone to be righteous. I justify you. I say you're righteous. God justified me. And he said, Harold, you are righteous. You believed. Now, what's this verse say? It says, verse 29, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. What's that mean? Can you justify God? He can justify you. Thank you, Roy. Yeah, he can justify you. How do you justify him? Is it important that he declare you to be righteous? Yes, if that never happens, you'll never get into heaven. Is it important that you declare him to be righteous? You say, yeah, yes, that certainly would be important for me to declare him. How could I declare him to be righteous? Well, you would declare him to be righteous by doing what he tells you to do. That's how you declare him to be righteous. How did they declare him to be righteous in the days of John the Baptist? They got baptized. And what about the people who didn't get baptized? Well, they said, God's not righteous. What do you say? Who's righteous, you or God? Well, you say, well, God's righteous. I'm not righteous, God's righteous. How are you going to declare that God is righteous? You're going to get baptized? It's very, very interesting. But you read that verse again. Let's look at it again. Very, very powerful, 28 and 29. All the people that heard him, the publicans, justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against them being not baptized of John. What did John do? John divided the nation. And some came to him and were baptized, and they were declaring God to be righteous. And the others rejected the baptism of God. And what did they say by that? Did they say, John, you're wrong? No, it isn't what they said. Did they say the problem is what that church, you know? That church isn't always correct. I mean, the problem is the church. No, they didn't say that. When they weren't baptized, they didn't say the church is wrong. They didn't say John was wrong. When they weren't baptized, they didn't say the disciples were wrong. They didn't even say the Bible's wrong. They said, God, you're wrong. Wow. Do you understand the significance of that? Two people. Two kinds of people in the world in John's day. Those who were baptized said, God, you're right. Those who weren't baptized said, God, you are wrong. Now we all get to stand before God on judgment day. And a lot of people say, I've got a lot of things I want to talk to God about on judgment day. And I'll discuss these things with them. I don't think they really understand what a conversation with God is going to be like. I've reminded you before that Job one day said that he wanted to have a conversation with God. And he was going to ask him a few questions. And so God met him, and they had a little discussion. And before they really got into anything, God said to Job, now, Job, I know you want to ask me some questions, but I've got some questions for you first. And so God put to Job some questions. Do you remember how many they were? I've told you 2 or 3 times. If you've got a really good memory, you'll remember it was 84 questions. So what would you do if God had 84 questions for you? Job says, I can't answer any of them. What's the discussion with God going to be like? God's got lots of questions. The Bible says this, on Judgment Day, every mouth will be stopped, and all the world will become guilty before God. That's what's going to happen on Judgment Day. Can you imagine somebody saying, now God, the only reason that I didn't get baptized was because, you see, I was convinced you're wrong. Oh, God says. And then what are you going to say after that? And you see, in the days of John the Baptist, there were all kinds of these people, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the independent, all of them saying, oh, we don't worry too much about John. You be careful. The Lord says, you rejected John, but in rejecting John, you rejected the counsel of God against yourself. There's only 2 choices. You accept the counsel of God against yourself, and you get baptized. Or you stand before God and pretend to tell him that you were right when you said, you're wrong, God. Wow. Can you give me 6 contexts of baptism? Repentance, belief, gladly receiving his word, discipleship, identification, and justification. You either justify God and get justified yourself, or you reject God and there is no justification. I said there are 7. And so we're going to read just another couple of verses. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. And at the end of the chapter, well, I thought it was Matthew 20. So I've made a mistake. Mark chapter 10. See if we can find it in Mark. Mark chapter 10. I don't keep very accurate notes, unfortunately. Mark chapter 10. The story is that James and John, who were Zebedee's children, 2 of his disciples, came to him one day and said, Lord Jesus, I want my 2 sons, I want them to be sitting 1 on one side, 1 on the other side of you when you come into your kingdom. And verse 38, Jesus said to them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, shall you be baptized. And the context here makes it clear that what he was talking about is the subject of persecution. What was going to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ? He was going to go to the cross and he was going to die. What happened to the disciples? They were going to be persecuted for their belief in Jesus Christ. 2 of them, 1 was James, 1 was John. What happened to the first one, James? Well, he became the first martyr for the church. And then what happened to John? Well, John lived to be an old man. And then they put him in prison, and he went to the island of Patmos, and he was in a terrible prison there. It was there that he saw the vision of the book of Revelation. Both of them were highly persecuted in their lives. What is associated with baptism? Persecution. Yeah. You say, I want to be identified with the Lord Jesus. What's the devil say? He says, you do. I think I got something for you to learn. Okay. What happens when you switch sides in war? Okay. You're fighting on this side, you go fight on the other side. What happens? Well, the people who were your enemy, your friends before, become your enemies now. And when they get you on a dark night in a corner, you can expect some pretty nasty treatment. Okay? And so associated with baptism, all those wonderful things that we've talked about. But one of them is, sooner or later, there will be persecution. Might not be the kind of persecution that James got when he was killed. Might not be the kind of persecution that John got when he was put into prison. But one way or the other, Paul tells Timothy, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Seven contexts for baptism. What are they? Say them with me. Number one, repentance. Number two, belief. Number three, gladly receiving the word of God. Number four, discipleship. Number five, identification. Number six, justification. Number seven, persecution. All right, you're a very, very good class. Okay. Is baptism important? Yeah, baptism's important. Are you rejoicing today for Jesse and Linda and all the others who've said in the past, I've told you before, I got baptized in this tank long time ago. Okay. And we rejoice. And there are others who are in the audience this morning who say, I want to be baptized too. Praise the Lord. You pray for them. By the grace of God, they'll be baptized soon. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the bold picture of baptism. And Lord, we don't deserve the great privileges of baptism. We certainly don't deserve to be numbered with the Savior. Imagine the privilege of standing with Jesus in the day to come. And Lord, we thank you that we could even stand for Jesus today when it's not very popular. We pray that you'll just bless Linda and Jesse. We thank you for them. May they lead lives of boldness and blessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just shower them, we pray, with your blessings. But Lord, we pray for each one of us. Some may have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Some may have never said, yes, I believe in Jesus. And there are others, Lord, who've never said, yes, I want to be baptized too. I want all of those things true in my life. And we pray, Lord, that this morning, this afternoon, there will be those who say, yes, I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and I choose to be baptized too. We ask these things, giving thanks. Bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.